Time now to catch up with Jeff from Acela Wine. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter, and good morning to all our listeners.
Well, mate, nice to see a bit of sunshine.
Yes, well, it's was unsettled Saturday and again yesterday, but, you know, a lot of people out and about, Peter, many, many visitors to the cellar door over the weekend and again Monday and yesterday, even in the bad weather. So fair bit of cabin fever, as we said, and a lot more children out, families out. Of course, school holidays, so that helps, but... yeah, it's good for them to be out and about, and I hope that, you know, our government doesn't overreact as they want to do. As we've pointed out many, many, many times, Peter, that locking down and going crazy and dishing out hundreds of billions of dollars to indirectly to Woolworths and Coles and wherever the heck the money's been going is not the way to solve this problem.
No, that's for sure.
We started right from day one and said testing, Peter. Testing and detective work, being able to, when an outbreak occurs, you know, local cluster, being able to track it and move and isolate and that. And we said many, many times, Peter, what are they going to do with the next outbreak? Shut it all down again? They can't. The treasury's empty, Peter. Yeah. And here we have in Australia now, we're still more cases in Italy, mostly because of Victoria. But here we have in Victoria twice as many cases now, three times the daily rate as when Victoria was shut down, and so was all of Australia. Are they shutting it down? Little bits and pieces here and there, Peter. They're trying to manage it, live yep. with it. And if they're going to try and manage and live with it, when it's three times the rate of what it was when they shut everything down, why didn't they try and manage it then? You know, I mean, it's, and what are they going to do next time? As we told them again and again, our listeners, that it's going to happen again. You can't eliminate it. It's going to happen. You got to learn to live with it.
That's
and
right.
New South, what's wrong with the people in New South Wales? I've never seen such incompetence in my entire life. Yesterday, I read in the paper, there's a 1.4-kilometer lineup to get tested for coronavirus. Now, if that isn't a cluster, you know, what starts with F, but if that isn't a real, you know, indictment of our government and our planning and our organization, testing is the key. Who, apparently people will line up 1.4 kilometers, Peter, but that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Spent $300 billion and they can't even organize a decent testing system, which is the key to everything. Well, mate, I mean, I don't understand it, Peter. I don't understand it.
It's unbelievable.
An idiot could figure it out, Peter.
Yeah, well, that puts me in. Yeah. No, seriously, even New South Wales Police Commissioner come out and outwardly call them morons. You know, these people that well, just won't socially distance. And good on him for saying that. He's dead right.
Yeah, they all live together in this little thing called Parliament, Peter, and walk around patting themselves on the back about what a good job they're doing. When they're demonstrating a level of incompetence that's hard to believe. Now, yeah. Victoria, look, I have sympathy for the people. But they didn't try and do anything for the protests. I've got nothing against the Black Lives Matter protests. The Ramadan, you know, and religious celebrations, they never tried to stop any of this. Now they have a school in called El Taqwa. It's had 150 cases, a Muslim school, Peter. And they're still operating. Yeah. 150 cases related to it. And that dates back to the religious ceremonies, which they allowed to go ahead. I mean, you got to wonder what the heck's going on here. You know, I mean, where do they... I have a video, Peter, about they say that the leader of Victoria was a former sea ship captain, and then the video goes on and shows 30 ships crashing and running aground.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah, it's actually, I'll send you a copy. It's actually quite hilarious. But the point is, you know, mismanagement. I mean, look, you know, you got to learn to live with it. And I'm not suggesting we do what Florida did. You know, Disney World opened the other day, Peter, and they still have 15,000 cases a day, Peter, in Florida.
I wonder how long their lines are.
Disney World opened. And, you know, I don't hold the U.S. up as a shining example, but I do hold up Sweden. Sweden's down only 34 cases yesterday, Peter, in Sweden. And they never did anything. They tried to live with it and manage it. Now, you know, they had more cases than we had, certainly. But as we talked last week, Peter, the number of people that are dying because of the application or lack of care or concern is half of all the people that are dying from coronavirus. And we're talking about people dying from diabetes, dementia, coronary disease, heart attack, stroke, the big study that came out of the US that we talked about.
Yeah.
You know, people, this is serious. It's not just the next 10 years people are going to die from lack of facilities and medical equipment and care. They're dying now, Peter. So we got to learn to live with it, Peter. And having 1.4 kilometer lineups to get tested is indicative, Peter, that the government learnt nothing out of this whole experience.
Did you notice that social distancing in those lineups was not being practiced?
Well, yeah. There were probably more cases, you know, caught in that 1.4 kilometer lineup, Peter, than in the lineup for that pub that's had 20 cases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen people on public transport. Yeah. They know where they've got to sit. They don't give two hoots. And there's a guy sitting behind me yesterday coughing. I said, would you put your hand over your mouth? And I want your wogs.
Yeah, well, Peter, look, unfortunately, we're managed by incompetent people making incompetent policies. And, you know, even if they put 1 billion of that 300 odd billion into testing and tracking, we wouldn't be in this mess. But they didn't, and they don't, and they won't.
Right.
And it's just they learned nothing, Peter. They don't know how to manage anything. It amazes me the country runs when you look at how they've done this. 1.4 kilometers. I mean, that's scandalous. They should have these testing stations everywhere and at will. And, you know, they don't. They think, oh, gee, look, we've solved this problem. And even, you know, and a reasonably intelligent person, as we like to think we are, Peter, we've talked again and again and again. You cannot eliminate it. You have to learn to live with that. And what are you going to do next time it breaks out? Twice as many cases in Victoria already. Daily rate three times. Even the smartest thing they did is they didn't shut Victoria down again because, Peter, they have no money. They spent it all ridiculously in the first wave. And now they got the second wave. Now they have to learn to live with it. So,
that's right.
You know, that's enough of that, Peter. We're unfortunately, you know, got to live with the people we elect. We can get rid of them next time, but we just put the same amount of incompetence in there again, Peter.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, round the market. Yes, I understand where you're coming from.
A couple of big developments, Peter. University of Queensland, and I'm just going to have a look here. The other institution was I want to get it exactly right, the Mater Research Team, based at the Translational Research Institute in Queensland, along with the University of Queensland. They're going to start trialing a cancer vaccine, Peter, on people.
Oh, very good.
Yes, the clinical trials have been quite successful, and this cancer vaccine is going to cover you know leukemia, breast cancers, lung cancers, pancreatic cancers, the major cancer killers. And so this was just announced the other day. And so this is great news, Peter, for those. And now, I didn't say anything in the article about vaccinating people that already have cancer, and unfortunately, there's a heck of a lot of us like that, Peter. But, you know, it can and possibly will lower that disease. Take a load off the medical system. It's incredible the load, you know, cancer puts on the health resources. So not to mention the personal misery of we people that have been through radiation, various other things, Peter. So that was a great, great outbreak. And there's another one, Peter, just came yesterday or the day before from the Rosalind Franklin Institute in the UK. I believe it's in the UK. Oh yeah, there it says UK researchers. They found antibodies derived from llamas, Peter, have been shown to neutralize the SARS virus, COVID. They're all COVID. This is COVID-2, although we call it 19 for some reason. I don't know. In lab tests.
They can't count.
Yeah, exactly. They found that the antibodies, which they call nanobodies, due to their very small size, they prevent the virus. They attach to the proteins on the virus and they prevent the viruses from getting into human cells. So they eliminate it from the body. So, Peter, let's all get out and kiss a llama.
Yeah, well, I got a llama cup. I have my coffee in.
You know, llamas do spit at you, of course. Alpacas, I'm sure llamas do. Alpacas do, and camels do. Yeah. You know, you never want to upset. You know, you can feed them, and that don't get too close, and make sure you got your glasses on.
Yeah, otherwise they you cop it.
Yes, they're not very social animals. But this, they're hoping that all blood cancers in the cancer inoculation or vaccine, Peter. But in this case, it's for people that already have coronavirus. It's actually a treatment that eliminates the virus from the body, the llama antibodies. So this is a very, I feel a bit sorry for the poor old llamas unless they figure out how to make this artificially, Peter. But they're going to lose a lot of blood.
Mate, I don't think that'll be a problem. They make everything else artificial.
Yes, they do. But this is an important breakthrough because it means there's a treatment for the virus. If once they get this through, because the epidemic will probably be not eliminated, Peter, the virus, but it'll be under control by the time this gets out. But it's nice to know that there are potential cures. This is a cure, Peter. This is not or it's heading towards a cure. They don't want to call it that yet because, and there's no vaccine. So, you know, this will be a very important part for the hospital's fight against coronavirus. So, yeah, two really important developments today, Peter.
Really good.
Yeah, so anyway, we had a busy weekend here, Peter. We were talking before we went on. A lot of people around with their families and school holidays here in New South Wales. And we had a lot of children running around the vineyard here chasing Buddy. And
Does he play along with them or he runs away?
Oh, yeah. He loves kids. Yeah,
good.
He loves them. But often, you know, we have to tie him up because he's half the size of a horse now. the kids are a bit afraid of him. He's only 14 months. So we tie him up, and then eventually they go over and pat him and play with him and that, and then we're able to let him off so that, the kids can. It's amazing about how many city children are scared of dogs. They don't see them often. And, maybe they've had walked past a house where the dogs growled and barked at them. And without that interaction, Peter, they have a true fear of dogs. So, you know, it's not man's best friend anymore the way it always has been in the country, Peter.
Yeah. Well, there is a dog here on our estate. Her name is Jessie. She's a red cattle dog. And, the tail was between the legs the first time I met her. So yeah. She was giving me that eye as much as say, can I trust you or not?
Yeah.
But now, of course, I roll her over, we play ball, everything. She's really good.
Yeah. No, it's, they're good. Most dogs are that, unless they've been badly mistreated, or trained, trained to be guard dogs, and then you want to stay away from them. But Anyway, so we were busy again on Monday, Peter, and even yesterday again it was raining and we were busy again. So not that we couldn't handle it, we handled it quite easily. We had extra help, of course, on the weekend. So, you know, we encourage people to come out and see us, come visit us. We can at least show them a picture of the mimosa silk tree, Peter.
Yeah, because it wouldn't have any leaves at the moment.
Yeah, and they say, "Oh, gee, isn't that beautiful?"
Yeah, yeah. Well, it will start getting leaves again, I would imagine, soon.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's fairly late. I think it probably won't until about the end of September, I think. So got another couple of months to go, Peter, for it. But I'll tell you what, it was warm yesterday, and it was warmer last night. Probably the frosts for the year are not over. Because we're only in the middle of winter now, but boy, she was definitely on Saturday and Sunday. And other than when it rained, we did all our tasting outside, Peter. It was beautiful, warm, sunny, beautiful.
You know, my favorite little spot's under those two big trees right in front of the
big trees. Yeah,
oh, mate, they are lovely.
They are, except they're too close to the house, Peter. You know, if they keep growing the way they are, we're going to be living in a tree house.
I don't think that'd be all that bad.
No, but only half of it will be up the tree, Peter.
The rest of it, I'd hate to say where it would.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so that's we're hoping that New South Wales, you know, we've shut the border off with Victoria, which I think is probably a wise move for at least 2 weeks. You know, and it's going to take, look, they closed down in only three days ago in Victoria, 4 days, I can't remember exactly. But we have to remember a cycle is 6 days, Peter. So closing down has no effect for 6 days. So yeah. At the end of 6 days, the area you've locked down, if it's going to have an effect, the 7th, 8th, 9th day will start to have the effect. So by this weekend, the number of cases should start to decline if they're doing their job elsewhere, which they haven't done in Victoria. You know, very, very poor. They spend the billions New South Wales do. They waste it. You know, they're not, like, the whole country wastes. If you look at the charts, Peter, and study as we did and do spreadsheets, if you look at the countries with the greatest testing, they're the ones on top. You know, they got on top of everything. We predicted, you know, 3 months ago now that Victoria was going to have a real problem, not just because of incompetence, which turned out to be even a greater factor in this, but because when New South Wales was testing at a pretty poor rate, they were testing in New South Wales. Victoria was only testing at 60% of that rate.
That's right.
And if you don't test, you don't find. And eventually, it catches up with you. And that's what it did in Victoria, and with some very poor thing. The interesting thing is, but Peter, the entire outbreak is a new strain. And I read yesterday a report from the World Health Organization that the current outbreaks virtually everywhere in the world is a new strain. It's not the original strain that China had.
Right, so this one's COVID-19 and a half.
Yeah, it's mutated, Peter.
Oh, boy.
And they started from, in the Victorian one, started from one passenger, overseas passenger that was in quarantine. She brought that new strain to Australia. And I read the report on Victoria, according to the chief medical officer. There's not been one case in Victoria that isn't the new strain. It's all the new strain that person brought back. And it's because of the private security in the hotels mingling with the guests in those quarantined hotels that's started the spread in Victoria. So
unbelievable.
Yeah, once you get going, it's hard to stop. But anyway, it's obviously mutating because it's getting a better grip. Now, it remains to be seen if the death rate of this new strain is higher or not, Peter. It hasn't been around long enough. Is it more deadly? And we'll find that out over the next 4 to 6 weeks in Victoria, unfortunately. But I believe, you know, that we have to be prepared for more deaths there. So anyway, what can you do?
I think at this point, have a lovely glass of organic wine.
That's a good suggestion, Pete, especially since we knew, and maybe that's why, you know, we've got this, you know, capability of looking forward and, you know, predicting where these governments have completely screwed up, Peter, is because the study we talked about showed that people that drink a couple of glasses of wine a day have better cognitive ability than those that don't.
So amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, we don't want to be electing teetotalers, Peter. They don't think straight.
On the added advantage, of course, if they have a little too much, they can do everything and be very pleasantly.
Yeah, well, that's the other side of the coin, I guess. But So we've always known it's good for your brain, your heart, your blood vessels, your skin, your eyes, everything, because it's eliminating or neutralizes, is the word they call, free radicals in your body. And free radicals are the enemy that age us and make all our organs deteriorate, Peter. And of course, organic wine has up to twice the antioxidants to neutralize those free radicals. So, now, of course, they've always said it's good for your mind and dementia, but now they've done a major study that actually proves what we've all known for some time, Peter. More intelligent people drink wine, you know.
Fantastic. And the address to complete the circle?
Yeah, cellowines.com.au, or call us here, or come visit us now, school holidays, here in the Hunter Valley. And the telephone number is 657-452-75.
You make it so easy, mate.
Yep, Peter, it's nothing like sitting down and having a nice glass of wine, knowing you are not going to have any blush, palpitations, or headache the next day.
Isn't that nice? Mate, lovely to catch up with you.
Yeah, great. And we'll catch up next week.
You sure will. Thanks very much, Jeff.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.